Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Carrie Hilson, Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school like, okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro.
That's what it felt like.
That's what it felt like.
Listen to R&B Money on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think I can hold my own.
Yeah.
Some people say Harvey has your cadence. Well, some people will say that Harvey has your cadence. That's your cadence.
Yeah, I've heard that.
If you become Miss America, you'll make about $1 million during your reign, 4 or 5 more million thereafter if you play it right. So do I think it's a shame that you got to come out in a bathing suit and a pair of high heels? Yeah, I really do. I think you ought to have to come out butt naked.
Church is the building you attend. Church is the activity that go on once you get inside the building. That's what I'm talking about. Praying, they talk to God like he stay next door. You know, like he they buddy. Like he got a membership at the Y. They don't shut their eyes. Ain't no emotion in it. They just be talking to God. Oh, Father God.
Steve, my man.
You trying to start some shit?
I ain't trying to start nothing, brother. You think I'm trying to start something?
Why do you think you were not on the Kings of Comedy?
They edited an interview I did and made it seem as though I was saying, don't go Steve, see Steve, come see me.
How did you get in those Friday movies? Was that just an audition or just a phone call?
You know, a lot of people complaining. I don't know who they had representing them. But dog, I got paid.
Right.
And when I did Friday After Next, because I had gotten so much for next Friday, when I did Friday After Next, I bumped head with the producers.
Comic View or Def Comedy Jam?
As far as what
it did for comedy. Are you familiar with what just happened with Corey Holcomb and Donnell Rawlings?
M-I-L-D. You catch up. You ain't had so
I catch up in the hardest rooms in Brooklyn. And you ain't never. And you ain't never with them rooms.
You just yelling.
Saying I'm mild. You saying I ain't come through the streets or the gutters in straight bull. And if you want to ask somebody, ask the mother that you know. 32. I rip.
You rip lights?
I rip. You ask any ever see me bomb. Anybody. And you ask anybody that don't know me, I keep it gangster.
I don't say you.
No,
bomb.
You trying to say I'm a bum. I ain't no bum.
No, I didn't say
and
you.
And that saw.
Your comedy is mild.
We talking about comedy. He said, DZ, I went and saw Kevin Hart. Yeah, he did an hour. I said, yeah. And he didn't offend nobody in the building. I said, I can't do 5 minutes without making somebody's ass itch.
That niggas want to loan me to death. Salute, Loan.
Yeah, exactly.
It's my man, Loan.
That's my man, too.
Both loans. Old loan, new loan, both loan.
Okay.
Yeah, all ops must know it's up there and it's stuck there, nigga.
When it's up there, man, it's stuck there.
Shut up.
Yo, welcome to another episode of It's Up There Podcast. I am your active and attractive host for another episode of the fastest growing podcast in the world right now. I don't talk to everybody, man. When I seen this guy in my city come to the legendary Zanies, I made it my mission to go out to see this man because I grew up off of him, and I think that he's a legend in the game. Today we got Don DC Curry. How are you, my brother?
I'm doing good, man, but don't call me legends got about 6 months to live.
You don't believe that.
I appreciate you coming, man.
And I appreciate you for giving me and gracing the platform with your presence, man. You did a lot in this game. How do you feel about the state of comedy right now?
Well, I couldn't think of a better time to be a comedian with all that's going on now. I remember when you used to have to take a story or the news or whatever and turn it up a notch to make it funny. But now, what's going on now, you got to turn it down a notch to make it believable. Because everybody think you're making it up if you just tell what's really happening now. But with regards in particular to black comedy, while it's funny on one hand, it's sad on another hand because you spend your whole life fighting for equal rights and all that, and then what happens, it appears, what does it appear is going to happen in the end? We're going to implode. You know, we're exploding from within.
Why you think that?
Well, I think part of it is part of it is just, people want to refer to it as competition, it being a competitive game and all that, but I don't wish nobody ill will. So when they mentioned going on Shay Shay, is that his name?
Yeah, Shay Shay.
They mentioned on going there with me. I said, he don't want me. I'd be the boringest interview you ever had because I know something on everybody, but I ain't telling nothing.
Right.
I don't know nothing.
Right.
It's the equivalent to me when you put somebody's personal business out there of snitching.
Right.
Same thing, man. Same thing.
So
man.
Is that how you felt about what Cat done?
Cat, my buddy, he said some of the shit was right and some of it was wrong. He ain't reading no 3,000 books a year. Right. That's 9 books a day,
that's
fool.
That's Cap.
You ain't running no 4,340. Hell, if you could, you should have ran that when that 15-year-old boy whipping your ass.
I remember that, too.
But Cap, my man, but I'm proud of, I'm proud of some brothers that he might disagree with, you know. Now, some of the stuff he said was true. I just wouldn't be airing it on think.
Is the truth disrespect, though?
Well, I'm gonna tell you why I drew the line. I'm gonna tell you a couple of things that were debatable. But I tell you a couple of things I had a problem with. Unless a brother's wife is in the game, that's kind of off limits. Those are old gangster rules, man. You don't mess with family.
Wife and children.
Yeah. Now, in the case of Kevin Hart, his ex-wife is in the game. So I don't know. Maybe that's fair. Fine, but, you know, he said something about some of the other guys' wives. I got a little problem with that. And then when he referred to Quake's illiteracy, or accused him of being illiterate, I got a little problem with that.
I mean, the Quake situation seemed to be a lie. So, I mean, everybody got an issue with lies. You know what I'm saying? Because Quake went on Breakfast Club and said he was, I think, in the Navy or
Armed Forces. Was in the Air Force.
Air Force. So,
I think it was, yeah.
Right. It's impossible to be illiterate going through the Air Force. So I don't know if that checked out as far as what Quake was saying. You know, I really don't. But do you harbor any resentment? Like, do you feel like, because 50 million views.
50 million, yeah.
That's a lot of money. Not cash, but just in this world that we operate
in. Oh, he finna sell some tickets, bro.
Yeah, so I'm saying, they don't give you a hand shot. Like Cass say, they don't look out for me. Why am I holding they secrets?
Yeah, but sometimes it's a matter of your soul, man. I was with Cat. We was hanging out one day, and I reminded him back in the day. It's a true story. I said, Cat, you know, you still owe me $500. We were in New York years ago, and I did a Comedy Central special, and he did something there. But anyway, we happened to end up at the same hotel, same bar after the show. And to show you how green he was at that time, when they paid him, he did a TV show, and he thought they were going to get him cash.
Golly.
But they wrote him a check.
Yeah.
He ain't had no money.
Right.
So I gave him $500. Loaned him $500. So I asked him the other day, I said, hey, man, you know you still owe me that $500. And he said, is that right, DC? So I tried to refresh his mind and everything. He said, DC, have you told anybody that? I said, no, player. I don't roll like that.
Yeah.
He said, that's the difference between you and me, DC. He said, if you told somebody that, you'd have 10 million hits tonight. I said, but I don't throw nobody under the bus like that. He said, that's why you're a great comedian, but I'm more famous. That's what he said to me, man.
That's sad, but that's how this...
There's another part of that story that I'll tell you when we off the air.
Right. So I think you, from where you come from, y'all have a certain cadence, right, with comedy. I don't know if it...
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there. I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Mr. Worldwide himself, Pitbull.
A lot of artists in general, people that are very creative, sometimes tend to overthink. That's one of my number one rules. Don't ever overthink. You can think ahead, but don't overthink. And what I mean by that is when they start to write a record, they're like, oh, that's not the line. Oh, that's not this. Oh, it's not that. And everybody has a creative process. I'm not knocking it. For me, I just let it flow.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's moving to the new era with these comics. Do you see anybody in the new era that kind of reminds you of what y'all were when you were coming up?
Well, I think the new cats, and I ain't mad at them, man. Nah. I think they kind of struggling to find their way, just like we were. I think social media, I know, obviously it changed the game. But, in some ways it's been good because it exposes them to different flavors. But a lot of things ain't changed. When I was coming up, you know, there was some older comics in the game. Fewer, of course, than it is now, but they wouldn't think to try to help you, man.
Yeah,
they wouldn't. I'm gonna tell you, four or five of them that helped me, but a lot of them were just haters, man.
Yeah,
a lot of them were haters. John Witherspoon helped me. George Wallace, who's still alive, he's about 160. J. Anthony Brown, 140. Renardo Ray, Richard Pryor, and somebody else. But for the most part, they wasn't that forthcoming with information. So what I've tried to do, because ain't nobody, you ain't no threat to me.
Right.
And I've tried to share all I could share with the young brothers who asked me. You know, ask me, I ain't trying to push nothing on. But if they ask me, I tell them.
Why do you think you were not on the Kings of Comedy?
Well, first place, I ain't no king of comedy. I don't consider myself no king of comedy.
You don't?
But they told me, no. But they told me at the time that it was because I didn't have a television show. D.L. Hughley had D.L. Hughley show. Bernie had Bernie show. Steve and Cedric were on Steve Harvey.
Why?
I was on Grease Under Fire.
why do we feel like you try to downplay it though? Like I shouldn't have been on no Kings of Comedy. I ain't no king of comedy. You just told me Richard Pryor helped you. John Witherspoon helped you.
I had three conversations with Richard Pryor. I don't want to overemphasize that. I could pick up the phone and call Richard. I had three conversations with Richard Pryor.
But they were very impactful and he
was very open with me. And at that time, he was like on his going out on his last leg. But he was real, you know.
Yeah, but even if whatever Richard Pryor gave you in that moment, that was that. But to be in the game from then to now, how has that not solidified being a king?
Bro, king, strong word, bro. Let me make that clear, because I know how y'all take shit and twist it. I ain't no queen. I ain't saying that when I say I ain't no king. No, man, I'm not trying to be overly modest or nothing. I ain't no slouch now.
You ain't nothing like nothing nowhere near.
I think I can hold my own.
Yeah. Some people will say Harvey has your cadence. Well, some people will say that Harvey has your cadence. That's your cadence.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, so that's what I don't understand. Like,
Steve, my man. You know, I saw him and Mark Curry arguing. Look, bros, when you came up in the same general time frame, you're going to have some overlapping of things that you got in common. Mark Curry and Steve were going at it about a Halloween costume. Come on, man. All black folk, for the most part, made the Halloween costume. So some of that stuff. But you know when you write something and you got your signature on it and somebody snatch it from you. Now, that has happened to me in some cases.
You even got a certain style, bro. What I'm saying is when you deal with jokes, at least from the outside, me looking in, it's like the packaging of the joke is just as important as the joke. And so your cadence, just how you just did now with the inflections and things of that nature, right? When you see someone like you coming up in that moment with Comic View and all that was going on, that was you, Harvey, all y'all was kind of in that same pot. That cadence is only, I don't know anyone else with that, but really you too. I don't know, I'm talking about where I can close my eyes and say, that rhythm, that's that rhythm. That's that DC rhythm. Like, do you ever think that? Do you ever feel that? Do you ever?
You trying to start some shit, man.
I ain't trying to start nothing, brother. You think I'm trying to start something? These are my real thoughts. Like, when I hear this, even when going back, just listening as I was driving down, I'm like, oh, shit. Let me listen to Harvey. I put Harvey in. Now, what I would say is different was he would do a little more acting with it. But if you close your eyes, and this is only two or three bits that I saw, but if I close my eyes, I say that cadence belongs to DC.
Here, you want me to say?
All right. Well, we can move on. But you know, I just wanted to ask you that.
Let me say something, just in case Steve see this. You know, he's had several problems with me. I'll tell you about a couple of them. We were doing a show in Memphis one time back in the day, and he had just gotten his toupee. And we were in the dressing room. It was a low ceiling, and they had a ceiling fan. And I suggested he get out from under the ceiling fan before he snatched his toupee off. Now, after that, he didn't speak to me for about 3 years.
Damn.
Another time, well, I ain't gonna tell that. But we've had just two or three run-out. Another time, I was in Houston. He was at the Civic Center, I think it was. I was at a club. They edited an interview I did and made it seem as though I was saying, don't go Steve, see Steve, come see me. That ain't what I said. They cut it down and made it look like that.
Right.
But what I said was, you can go to see Steve at the arena, but it's going to be hard to see him in that arena. I was talking about the intimacy of comedy clubs. And I said, I'll be at this club. And for what it's worth, Steve might sell out. But a club I was at said 250 people. I know I'm going to sell out. I said something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He took it and got on the radio after that and you know, tried to insult me, which he couldn't do. I got some tapes, man. Steve had a comedy club, you know. And I got some tapes of me performing at his comedy club. So there's been some overlapping, but you know.
And then for me, bro, in this game, because I take it personal, you know, me. And I don't know if it's the dog is in me. You seem like a player. You seem like a super cool player type nigga. So I don't take you to be sensitive. You know what I'm saying?
Man, right. You really had to. You can't hardly insult me. Bro.
Right, right. But with the money, though, it's just like, yo, man, with the money, I don't know. Like, I commend you for being so player about it. But I can't see, you know, certain things for me would be a little more visible in my arguments, right? Because I'd be saying,
you know. Let me tell you something, man. When I talk about money, I like money like anybody else. Right. It does not control me, brother. And, you know, for example, there's only so much shit you can buy. After that, you can buy bigger shit, more shit. You know, you can buy a house. Now, if you get a house, you can buy another house. But, I mean, there's only so much shit you can buy.
Right.
But if you compare yourself to somebody who's super, you want to call it successful or whatever, if a man got a $50 million plane, $50 million jet, but I don't want one, I just made $50 million, relatively speaking.
Mm.
God bless Beyonce and Jay-Z. They bought a $200 million house. But in my mind, because of where I come from, you know what I could buy with $200 million? Mm. $200 million house.
Right.
I'm not shooting shit. God bless them what they did.
Right.
But I cannot imagine what a $200 million house is. Right. That's some bitch on the moon or something.
Right. Well, where did you grow up at?
Southside Chicago.
Got that player on you, man.
Finger high.
It wasn't scared, got that of,
wasn't scared of nothing back then. All my partners was gangsters. Yes, I go back now, I be scared to stop at a stop sign.
Yeah, man. Are you familiar with what just happened with Corey Holcomb and Donnell Rawlins?
No. But I had Cookie Hull on my show. She basically was rebutting Kat's interview.
Right.
Cookie Hull used to work for him. She said she used to write for him. He said she didn't. I kind of believe that she did. But at any rate, and I'm trying to be careful now not throw nobody under the bus. But Corey Holcomb called me because he saw me basically interviewing her on my show, Disray.
Right.
And he called me because he finna go in on her. And Corey gangster, man. But I got to give him props for calling me. And
before he did that.
Before he did it, basically, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Not getting my permission, but I like I brought her on, man. Hey, man, you say what you think. She said what she think. I didn't condemn it or condone it.
Yeah.
But I felt she had a right to say it, and it's a fact that she accompanied Kat in whatever whatever capacity for quite some time. And she wanted to speak her piece, and she did, and it wasn't friendly. But you know, she's a woman, you know. You had my ex on, ain't no telling what the hell she's saying.
Right. How did you get in those Friday movies? Was that just audition or just a phone call?
No, I auditioned. They called me, you know, from stand-up. Back then, man, the scouts and stuff for television and movies, they would go out. And then black comedy was so hot then, they'd go to the black comedy clubs in different cities. So it used to be a place here I used to go to, Comedy Act Theater. They came in there. Now, I had turned them down 3 or 4 times. People from BET had come in there, and they were asking me to come out and basically audition to be the host of Comic View on my dime. I'm like, man, go on with that shit. I just stay right here and work in this club and make this $75 a week.
Yeah.
That's what I was getting, man, 14 shows.
Yeah, nah.
And so finally, I think it was the third go-round, they bought me a ticket and said they'd pay for hotel. I said, okay then, now you talking. But back then, the scouts would go out. Now you pretty much got to go to New York or L.A. They don't travel like they used to looking for talent. But anyway, they flew me out there for Comic View, and I think that's where Cube saw me. And at some point, we got a call, and they asked me to come in and quote-unquote read for the part, and I went in, and it was a wrap.
That's dope, though. Was it good money back then?
You know, a lot of people complaining. I don't know who they had representing them. But, dog, I got paid.
Right.
And when I did Friday After Next, because I had gotten so much for next Friday, when I did Friday After Next, I bumped head with the producers. Because Cube, at that point, had gotten so big, Cube had basically stepped out of the negotiations and stuff. So I bumped head with the producers. And so later on that evening, I called Cube. And I said, hey, man, you know, you can cut this if you want. I said, these motherfuckers crazy. And Cube said, well, you know, what's up, DC? And I said, well, we can't come to grips with the money. Ice Cube said to me, DC, what you want? And I told him. He said, call him back in 15 minutes. And I come back 15 minutes, they asked me when I could come in and sign the papers. I said, damn, I was too cheap.
Yeah, you need a little pushback.
But just like that, man. So yeah, well, Kim Whitley, who didn't do Friday After Next, because she had bumped head with the producer. But I told her, call Cube. You know Cube.
Right.
We all talking, we was on set.
Right.
I said, call Cube. And she wouldn't do it. So that's when they went and basically got Samoa, who was my friend. I'm touring with her now. They went and got Samoa to basically replace Kim Whitley.
Wow. That's dope. Comic View or Def Comedy Jam?
As far as what?
As far as what it did for comedy, who it propelled. Cachet in the culture, you know, overall.
I think Def Jam was the ultimate. At that time, it was the ultimate thing, Def Jam. Comic View had more longevity. It was a calmer atmosphere. It was kind of two different genres. Def Jam, you know. Comic View, you had time to make somebody think. Def Jam, you got to go, bro.
You got to go.
Yeah. But both of them did the thing. So shout out to Russell Simmons. Shout out to Bob
Johnson, I think.
Bob Johnson. Yeah. Both of them provided an avenue. Bob Sumner was with Def Jam, but Bob Johnson on
BET.
BET, Comic View, yeah.
Yeah.
And it created a platform for us that wasn't available. I don't think you can compare it to anything now as far as black comics are concerned.
Right.
Yeah.
You think it can be recreated in there? That can be redone now? You can centralize those audiences? Because basically that's what there was. People would sit down at a certain time, you know, get looking forward to watching comedy on Comic View or...
I tell you why I don't think so. Because of social media. I don't think so because of social media. Now, I ain't mad at nobody or nothing. I ain't mad at the young brothers on social media. But I think, and it's obvious... when some of them are missing the experience.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there. I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Mr. Worldwide himself, Pitbull.
A lot of artists in general, people that are very creative, sometimes tend to overthink. That's one of my number one rules. Don't ever overthink. You can think ahead, but don't overthink. And what I mean by that is when they start to write a record, they're like, oh, that's not the line. Oh, that's not this. Oh, it's not that. And everybody has a creative process. I'm not knocking it. For me, I just let it flow.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Going out on the road, driving from place to place, dealing with different people and trying to find where you fit in. And you can't do that. Can't do that with video, man. And then it's not as real.
Right.
Because you can't get booed on video. And you got to get your ass out there and get booed. Mm-hmm. And then figure out what you did wrong. But on video, you can do 50 takes and just pick the best one. Then a lot of people disappointed when they show up to see him. Now, some of the brothers have gone on and gained experience and stepped it up. Country Wayne, Shula King.
Yeah.
And figured it out. But I've seen some fall, DC Young Fly, I've seen some fall by the wayside, you know, that possibly would have done better if they had been on the road. It used to call it the Chitlin Circuit.
Yeah, because working those jokes is a thing. Like, you got to get that joke in different rooms, and you know what I'm saying? Like you said, like it's.
That's why. You know, I do some concerts now. I think I got 40, 50 on the books for this year, but I got, you know, 40 some clubs on the books because the repetitions.
Right.
The repetitions, and you'd be surprised. I always call comedy, particularly black comedy, but comedy in general, is psychological warfare, brother. And you'd be surprised how changing a word or a phrase or the time it make all the difference in the world. So when you're doing a club and you got several shows to do day after day, you know, you can work it out. You got time to work it out.
Yeah. And then you see, it'll. You also got to serve people that don't know you as much too, right? Because especially with social media, the fanfare is so crazy.
Yeah.
It's like you come out, they cheering. It's like he ain't even got nothing out. He ain't even said nothing. These dudes are getting that love. And they. I wonder the last wave of comics that'll make that $75 a night or a week and all that. They don't even feel that no more.
That's old with anybody.
Doing. Yeah, they don't even feel
that. My first paid job, I opened for Paul Mooney, was $70. 14 shows. I was getting $5 a show. And at the end of the week, they handed me a note. They said I owed them $127. I had drunk up $200-something worth of shit. Michael Williams and his brother, Gary Williams. Yeah.
Was there any beef? Well, not beef, but any competition with Comic View and Def Comedy Jam back then? Where it's like...
No, back then, there were three things you had to do to establish your legitimacy as a black comic. You had to do Def Jam, Comic View, and Apollo.
Apollo.
After that, they take you seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, Showtime at the Apollo.
Right.
And if you could do that and survive, you're doing pretty good. Showtime at the Apollo. They talk about Def Jam audience. Showtime at the Apollo, when I first did it, I got that thing call time about 11 o'clock in the morning, and I got up to perform it, I think it was 10 o'clock at night. Same crowd. No water, no refreshment, no nothing, man. I don't even know if the bathroom was working. But they been sitting there 11 hours when I got up.
Damn. God damn.
But you know, it was all in the game,
right,
man.
Nah, them the reps, though. Yeah, them the reps.
Get the reps in, man. And you learn about TV and so forth. But the reps, you know, they don't. And God bless them, you know. A lot of them making a lot of money, man, but, you know, I stand hard on what I believe. I'm including radio shows now. I'm 11,000 and something deep.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. I don't know why. I don't know. You don't got to like it. I'm calling you a legend. You ain't even got to like it. And my voice matter in the culture, so whatever. But here's something I also want to ask you. When... Corey Holcomb, speaking of those reps, sometimes comedians even say seasoned comics are quote unquote mild. So Corey Holcomb says that Donnell Rawlins is a mild comic.
Yeah.
Do you understand that term, and what do you think that means? Because I'm sure my viewing audience don't know kind of what a mile. I know what it means because I know what mile wings is versus hot wings.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, it ain't funny. Corey Holcomb is wild.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a Corey Holcomb fan. Me but too. Some of the stuff Corey be saying, I'll be like, damn, boy.
Yeah.
What is wrong with you? But it's funny. However, and I don't want to reiterate what Kat said or what Corey said. There is a certain vein that if you get in that vein, you're more likely to become universally acceptable and blah, blah, blah. I've always spoke my mind. I had a conversation, I don't know, 20-something years ago with Tom Joyner, you know, about being more accommodating. So, yeah, it might could have been. Now, you take a guy like Kevin Hart. A guy was telling me the other day, we were talking about comedy. He said, DZ, I went and saw Kevin Hart, and he did an hour. I said, yeah. And he didn't offend nobody in the building. I said, I can't do 5 minutes without making somebody's ass itch.
Yeah.
But if you got that talent, God bless you, if that's what you can do. But, you know, I'm more of a... I'm a little radical, bro.
Yeah, I mean, but the truth is considered that. You know what I mean? When you get up there and just literally say your observations from a true standpoint... Some people gonna say it's radical.
Yeah.
You gotta live with that.
I speak it and then I can defend myself.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's interpreted as being radical. And then I don't give a damn if it is.
Right. So Donnell Rawlins ran up on Corey at the Hollywood Improv and interrupted his set.
I ain't see that.
Yeah, and just hollering at him saying, nigga, I'm a beast. You talking about I'm a mild comic, I'm a beast, right? Now
I did not know about that.
Right. Corey telling him in his face, man, yeah. That shit mild you doing, man.
Yeah.
And they kind of had this 1-2. What I want to speak to though is is that
Corey crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what I want to speak to is the conversation surrounding it, because the conversation surrounding that event is that, yo, Donnell really is doing that because what Corey said about Dave, which is Dave Chappelle bombs a lot.
Yeah, I saw that.
Right.
I saw Corey say that.
Do you agree with that? I mean, I feel comics bomb. Like, do you think Corey is wrong in his observation for being able to say that? Like, he said, yo, when they on stage, I go outside. I don't like what they doing. But for Dave, he's a good comic, but he bombs a lot.
Well, I don't know if you can bomb if you got $200 or $300 million. So I think he's at a point where he just goes up and he's talking. He's working stuff out in his mind. He's watching the crowd. They react. He just talking. He ain't got to go up and slam the room. He doesn't have to. The reason it gets harder and harder for a comic to be successful, a black comic, as he progresses economically, is because black folk are about poverty. Most of us just a generation, maybe two, from poverty, man.
Yeah.
But when you are perceived as having hundreds of millions of dollars, it's very hard for a black crowd to sit down and listen to you talk about how hard it is to pay bills.
Right.
I had this conversation with Arsenio, who's my partner. I talked to him all the time.
Right.
When you got millions of dollars, it's hard for you to connect with a man that spent his last $50 to sit in the bleachers in the nosebleed section and see you. So it becomes a thing. But
comedy is the one place in the culture where it's like, it's fair game. Like, that money don't excuse you. If you're not funny, you're not funny.
Well, you might be funny to some people. And you may be funny to the right or wrong people. Biggest lie ever told about comedy is funny is funny. That's bullshit. Because it depends on who's talking and depend on who you're talking to. That's why I refuse to do. I've got a lot of offers for shows across the sea.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the hell to say over there. I ain't lived over there. I don't know nothing. And I be talking about how America is crazy. So I don't want to go to a foreign country and do that. I can't go to an army base and talk about how crazy America is.
Right.
So I just turn them down, man. But it depends on who you're talking to and who's talking to. Say funny is funny. If you believe that, Richard Pryor, for example, could have taken Bill Cosby's material and been as effective. Ain't no way in hell.
Right.
Bill Cosby could go up and do Richard Pryor material and be effective. No.
Right.
There's an intricacy, an intimacy, and I think you develop that more, my personal opinion, in clubs, you know.
Right.
Concerts are hit, they bang, bang, man, and you got to get out of there. The union, you got to get out of there.
You
do 20 minutes, you get up there and do 30 if you want to.
Right. They hit that red light, it's time to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever shared the stage with someone, like, you know, the new style like the 85 South Boys is doing? You see how they kind of like, it's a three-way kind of thing on stage at the same time. Is that an awkward thing for like the old school, for y'all guys that came up one man, one mic, just taking care of the business?
Hey, man, to me it's a individual sport. Now, God bless them, they've been very successful.
Right.
But no, it's not what I'm about.
Do you think that you are a part of Hollywood because you've been in a few movies?
No. On the contrary, man. On the contrary, man. You know, they talk about bowing down all that to Hollywood. I just never have. Even now, I refuse some auditions because, I mean, you know, it's all of a shit show, man. Now, I'll come in and audition for something worthwhile, but you want me to come in and basically showcase something? Well, why you call me?
Right.
Because you know what I do. You know what I'm about. So don't call me, ask me, come in and do James Brown.
Right. Because that's what it feels like. It definitely feels like. I was talking to another comic I had, Nav Green, when he was doing Coming to America. He was kind of explaining the audition process. And he's just like, they're sitting there stale face and just looking at you like you got shit on your face.
And I've experienced this, you know, because it's an audition game. You know, you go in, you may audition for 30 shows and get one commercial or something. But you go in there, man, and it's kind of an insult. You go in there and sit down and some 22-year-old white girl decide whether you get the part or not.
That's a hard pill.
God bless you if you're 17 trying to make it.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But I ain't about that shit.
Nah. Do you feel like you made enough money out of this game?
Enough to do what?
To feel like I ain't bitter. I feel good about, I put in 40 years, this is what I got from it. Or have, you know.
I probably made more than I could have made doing anything else.
But
you know, like I said, man, I'm content. I ain't satisfied. I ain't got enough money.
Yeah.
But I'm all right. After you buy certain things, ain't nothing much, and you can't buy nothing else.
Right.
You know, you could have a $200 million house, but I got a house. You know, you could have a $5 million car, but I got a car.
Right.
So, I mean, relatively speaking, if you got something I don't want, we even.
Right.
You got a $50 million jet,
that's
and I don't want
game,
one.
Boy.
I just made $50 million.
That's a
relative.
That's good game right there.
Yeah.
That's but a good game right there, boy.
I don't want for nothing, man.
Do you think that in this game, in the comedy world, that there's for Tubi, are you interested in doing movies on Tubi? Would you do something like that?
I got a deal on the. I got a deal on the table with them now. I did a television show. AIB Productions put up most of the money. I put up the rest. It's called Napa Valley. You know, I'm a farmer. And it's about all my partners working. I bought a new farm. And it's about all my partners coming to work, turn this land into a farm, you know.
Right.
So yeah, I'm open to it. I'm open to that.
Yeah, because there's some young entrepreneurs, you know, running around with some bags over in Tubi world that reach for your cachet in this culture. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
put
a
number out, and you'll be surprised. Their phone will ring. Hey, we got that. We got that number for you. You know.
Yeah, and you know, and I, you know, you do it, and you go at your own pace. I shot a special that I was offered. A couple people offered to finance. I financed it myself.
That's dope.
And I got to finish editing it now, and then I shot it in Birmingham, Alabama, at the Stark Dome. But I own it, you know.
Right. Is that expensive process to shoot a special?
It cost me $40,000.
That's dope.
I imagine you could spend more if you want to do it a certain way. I imagine you could do it and spend less. But
the return on that, how do you make your money back from that?
Well, in the case of me owning it, I'm free to basically lease it out. So I could get it, Netflix could buy into it, Tubi, whatever, but I still own it.
Right.
As opposed to if I let them put the money up and then it's a wrap.
Right.
And they could buy it and put it on the shelf.
So you'll be doing more so of a licensing agreement where they'll just license your content for a couple years, pay you, and then you retain ownership after the agreement. That's dope.
Exactly. And I believe in the project. I believe it's bona fide and I'm a gambler, so I financed it my damn self.
Yeah, I respect that. How often do you write jokes?
I write every day, but some of it ain't funny. I'm gonna tell you what I do, man. I do satire, man. It's getting a lot easier now because you got your phone, man. I do satire, and I kind of do current events and stuff, but sometimes I just be writing and don't really be funny, but then something will happen in the world, in society, that makes it relevant. So I'll be like, I wrote something about how unfair it is for a brother to live on a certain side of Atlanta. And then something will happen that makes it relevant. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
But I write pretty much every day, but most of it end up in trash.
Do you think that you can start off funny in comedy and run out of funny?
Yeah, if you don't stay current and stay on what's happening, because, you know, most comics start off talking about the same thing, farting on the elevator.
Yeah.
Woman, period, which ain't never been funny. I'll be watching them bomb with that. I'll be like, that ain't gonna work, player. It's some shit you just can't make it funny, man.
You'll sit through a bombing.
I'll sit through one?
Yeah.
I'll sit through a bunch of them. They funny to me.
Yeah, the comics tend to laugh at bombings.
Oh, man. But I'm gonna tell you something that's changed. Back in the day, guys in my era, we would go up some nights, like, where their open mic night was big back then for black comics. And we would go up some night and challenge each other. I ain't going to say nothing I ever said before. Do or die. If I bomb, I just bomb.
Yeah.
And then after the show, we go to Waffle House and sit till the sun come up, man, and be critiquing each other. You know, nigga, you should have said this.
Right.
You should have said that. You should have said that. So it wasn't that like it is now, you know.
That's
my material.
Right.
We used to go in there, and literally, man, we would help each other write and bump up jokes. We like, you know, that's a funny concept, man,
right.
But what you said wasn't shit. And we would go back and forth, and it was all, it was a camaraderie. Now that it's not the same.
Nah, but that's one thing I think 85 South got. Even though they shut us, they got that camaraderie because they ain't worried about each other stealing the joke or running off. With social media, it's much more easier to claim ownership over something that's not yours, right? Over the idea of something. If your following's bigger or something like that, you retain ownership or whatever that is that you presented. But I think that's unfortunate.
But I got some stuff back then. You know, I used to travel with a little them little bitty cassette recorder. What you call it? Name? Mini recorder.
I forgot what they called. Yeah,
I could listen. I could let you listen to some shit. You would be like, that sounds very familiar.
You ain't got to tell me. I'm trying to understand why you are saying it. You know, even
some stuff is coincidence, and some stuff you know what the deal is.
I don't believe in that, man. Like, I mean, but I think you're a player, you know, a capital P. So I respect how you handle it.
Well, let me tell you how I describe myself. I'm a gentleman and a gangster.
Facts.
But I ain't trying to bring nobody else down. God bless you.
Yeah. Back in the day, do you think, I was talking to a comic, and I want to ask you about it, seeing that you was in the era or just around and know about comedy. Andrew Dice Clay.
Yeah.
Was his wave as big as it's presented to the culture? Because they tell
you. Well, he was selling that Madison Square Garden, blah, 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 blah. But his longevity wasn't.
Right.
He didn't, you know. So he jumped out the gate. And back then, because comedy wasn't exposed like it is now, so you had another factor that now is. So you had the shock factor.
Right. Shock jock.
Yeah. So yeah, you could be shocking and not really be that funny.
Right.
Andrew Dice Clay was shocking. They was, they couldn't believe he was saying that shit. He was selling that Madison Square Garden, man, 3-4 shows a day.
Right.
But it's longevity, so I might. You know, I got a saying, man, because I don't be in no hurry to do nothing. My saying is, pace yourself, don't race yourself.
Right.
And he jumped out there, and he was rolling for a while, and after that, you know. And with social media now, and then Def Jam and all that, that's one thing it did that I feel was positive. It removed all that shock shit.
Yeah.
Because back then, they'd be, you hear what he said? He shocked me.
Yeah.
But it wasn't necessarily funny. But now, the people that grew up on Def Jam and stuff, man, they 40, 50 years old. So you ain't going to score no points just shocking somebody.
Right. I think back then, we're going to wrap it up after this. Back then, they had Eddie Murphy as well doing that stand-up thing. He was he competitors? Was that a competition thing? Like, were they selling out at the same time? Who was running alongside Dice Clay when he was doing that? Because he was using rap, hip-hop shit, and I'm just wondering who Black was moving around at the same time then, like on that scale.
It's probably only Eddie.
Yeah.
In that group, it's probably only Eddie, man. But if you talking about the skill of performing and the skill of comedy and substance, Andrew Dice Clay couldn't touch Eddie.
Right. And I always tend to think white comedy can't really, even though it. From just by numbers, it's gonna sell and do certain things. But when I think people enjoy Black comedy more than white comedy.
Cause it's more funny.
Yeah, I believe that. I don't know if it's wrong to say, like, but that's my opinion.
Damn, it's wrong. It's funny, man.
Yeah, that's my opinion.
And then it's hard, just like I was saying, giving the example of, you know, if you a comic, if you made millions of dollars, it becomes harder for you because to connect, the whole thing is about connecting with your audience.
Mm.
So how you going to be up there and you got $300 million or perceived to have $300 million? Right. That's why Eddie and them can't perform no more.
Right.
Because Black comedy about hard times, you know, about them bills coming, you ain't got no money. And you cannot realistically or convincingly talk about that when you got $200-300 million, man.
Right.
Anybody trying to hear that? You come off with phony. So you're going to have to go up there like the white boy and talk about it. You were talking to the goldfish this morning. And the goldfish said.
Right.
You know. So I said that to say it's hard for the quote-unquote oppressor to entertain the oppressed.
Mm.
Now, the oppressed can entertain the oppressor.
Yeah.
But it's hard for a person who's been on the easy route, so to speak, to make me laugh and
yeah, you just alienate yourself.
The problem I got with And, you know, I got some Mexicans work for me. But immigration taking over, the problem I got with it is the history of America, man. Even though, you know, they coming over here 5,000-6,000 deep a day, I ain't with that when you got poor folk over here already that you claim you can't feed. But I got a problem raising hell by the Mexicans coming over here voluntarily when my people were brought over here against their will. Mm. So it's hard for me, even though I realize the economics of it, it's hard for me to be standing up hollering, don't let the Mexicans in here, don't let right. the Mexicans in here. And my people, I'm here as a result of you bringing my people over here against their will. Now, I'm going to get over here and get halfway on my feet.
Right.
And then I'm going to be talking about don't let them voluntarily come in over here.
Right.
Come over here to work. And you brought me over here to work. Mm. You brought my people over here against their will to work. So, you know.
Deep. Something to think about, for real. That's, yeah. that's some shit to think about. That's why I respect comedians that are observation of it all.
Yeah, you know, well, that's why I respect Mexicans.
That nigga crazy. Crazy. Hey, yo, man, it's Up There Podcast, DC Curry, man. I appreciate you, brother.
Well, great love, conversation, man. I appreciate thank you so much, down, bro. Man. Yeah. I wanted to get with you today, man, but them clubs, they be wearing my ass out, man.
I already know it. I already know it. I appreciate you, bro. You're a legend.
Right on, brother.
You're a legend, man.
Stop calling me that, man.
Y'all
stop calling
game,
me
man.
That.
Do some
legends
of that.
Got about 6 months to live.
Stop it.
I appreciate it. Anything you. I said that ain't acceptable is because of that shit you was smoking.
You blame it on me. It's on me. Thank you, brother.
Right on, man. You good, man. You a pro, man.
Yes, sir, man. Thank you, brother.
Right on.
Thanks for watching this clip from It's Up There podcast. To see the rest of the interview, click one of the boxes on the screen. Also join Discord and Patreon to be in our community.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Carrie Hilson, Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school like,
yeah.
Okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro.
That's what it felt like.
That's what it felt like.
Listen to R&B Money on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics, in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. That's right.